While you're standing, grab your Bibles, open to Matthew chapter 6, if you would. Let us just read our opening text. It's just two verses this morning, Matthew chapter 6. And for the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and begin this morning so I get you out on time. But Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verses 16 through 18, Matthew chapter 6. 16 through 18, it reads, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites are, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to come. Speak now to us, Lord God. Prepare us for what you have for us. Do wonders and miracles in our midst. We ask it in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. If you say amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor and just greet him as you welcome him this morning. As you take your seat, just say good morning to him. Touch somebody and just say good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Amen. 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 All right. So this morning, I told you last week, I believe it was, that we would be going on a corporate fast the first week of April. The first week of April, we will be starting a corporate fast here at the church. Every year, at least once or twice a year, we try to fast as a corporate body so that we can see breakthroughs corporately as an entire body, but also individually in our lives. So we will be starting our first fast this year, the first Sunday of April, and we'll be going 21 days. Pretty much, it'll lead up into Easter. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm just checking to see if you're with me already. 21 days we will be fasting. And I know that when I say a 21-day fast, all types of thoughts may be going through your mind. Some of you may be looking at me and saying, "Pastor, you know, I don't think I can go 21 days. That's kind of a long time to be fasting." But just hang in tight. I think you can make it. Some of you may be sitting here and maybe you're not familiar with fasting. Maybe you are newer to the church. I see that all the time. I had someone talk to me even about prayer last week, about opening some doors and some lights, about what prayer really is. But fasting is important. Some of you may be looking at me and saying, "Pastor, why do I need to fast? It's the 21st century. Is that something that we even need to do?" And so this message today is really geared at answering all of those questions before we start the fast. We need to fast. Look at your neighbor and say, "You need to fast." Yes. Now, you said that, but you may not believe that, but you just said it. So I want to ask you a question, and I want to get you thinking this morning. If I was to ask you even just last week, Not any longer, but just last week, how much time did you spend watching television and movies? You don't need to give an answer, but just think about it. How much time did you spend last week watching television and movies? The NCAA tournament is going on. Some of us, if you like me, you like to watch the news. Some of you like to watch Days of Our Lives and All in the Family. Or whatever some of those shows are, I don't remember all the names of them. But think about that. How much time did you spend last week watching television or movies? How much time did you spend last week going shopping? How much time did you spend going to the mall, shopping there, going to buy groceries, whatever it is? How much time did you spend doing that? How much time did you spend at work? How much time did you spend sleeping? How much time did you spend talking on the cell phone? How much time did you spend on Facebook? How much time did you spend with your friends? Think about that. How much time did you spend just last week on those things? You don't have to guess, because I started doing some study on it, and I found a site that tells us on average how much time we spend doing these things. If you put up that graphic, it says that on average, the average person spends 8.58 minutes working. I don't know if that's true for all of us. It wasn't like that way when I was out there. You couldn't get a full day's work, but they say 8 hours, 58 minutes, 7 hours sleeping, 3 hours leisure and sports, just doing things that you like, Facebook, phone, those types of things. 1 hour, 8 minutes eating, 46 minutes doing housework. I wish that would apply to my boys. 23 minutes caring for household members, 23 minutes shopping. Those are some general categories that they say we spend our time on, but do you notice anything missing from up there? You don't see anything about prayer seeking after God, do you? And that's really the purpose of fasting. Because the truth of the matter is, if we were honest, I think that most of us would have to agree that if you were to compare how much time we spent on everything else versus how much time we spend seeking and searching after God in prayer, it would be heavily imbalanced. Would you agree? And then we wonder why in our lives we have no spiritual power. We wonder why in our lives we're always struggling with things in our relationships, in our marriages, in our finances, and how some areas of our life you just can't get free. Anybody been praying about something to where you just haven't been able to get free from it at all? Maybe it's a challenge or a struggle or something that you've been dealing with for years, and you're praying about it, you're faithful in praying about it, but you just haven't been able to get a breakthrough on it. Anybody been going through that at all? Can I remind you of something that the Bible tells us that all of you know, but sometimes it may slip your mind? There are some things in your life, some struggles, some battles, some issues that you will not get a breakthrough without fasting. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 2, I believe, Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Some of you may remember when the disciples were trying to cast out a demon, and they were trying to cast out this demon, and the demon wouldn't go. This demon was afflicting this man, and he was oppressing him, and he was trying to take control of his life. And they were praying over him, and they were casting out this demon, and the demon wouldn't leave. And Jesus, when he came to him, said that there are certain things. He said, do you remember? He said that these types of demons or this type of oppression only goes by prayer and fasting. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There are some things in your life, some struggles, some issues, some challenges that will only go by prayer and fasting. When you go back and look at that Mark chapter 9, verse 29, Jesus says these types of things don't go but by prayer and fasting. Now, most of us are praying, but when it comes to fasting, not many of us are doing that. Is there an amen in the house? But the Bible says that along with prayer, we also need to incorporate fasting. So if you've been praying over something for some time and you've just been praying and seeking God for this breakthrough of whatever area it is and you haven't seen it, perhaps you need to incorporate fasting into your life to help get that breakthrough that you're looking for. So this morning, what I really want to do as we get prepared to walk into the season of fasting is to answer all of these questions about why do I need to fast? What is the purpose of fasting? What are the benefits and the rewards of fasting? And one of the first questions that I want to answer is does the Bible say that as a Christian I'm supposed to fast? Because I meet so many people who are Christians, and you've been Christians all your life, and when you talk about fasting, people don't know whether or not they're supposed to fast. So when you look in your Bible in Matthew chapter 6, if you go back and look there, I want to try to provide some instruction of what Jesus tells us. So in Matthew chapter 4, if you go back to the preceding chapters, you find that Jesus has been baptized. Jesus has gone to the wilderness to be tempted. When you come to Matthew chapter 5, he starts his public ministry. And when he starts his public ministry, he starts off by teaching the people. So in Matthew chapter 5, we see him at the Sermon on the Mount, to where he's giving them instructions and he's teaching them on how to be blessed. And then as you go through chapter 5, he's teaching them on a whole bunch of different stuff. He's teaching them about divorce. He's teaching them about anger. He's teaching them about a multitude of different things. And when you get to Matthew chapter 6, he begins to teach them about prayer. And he's talking to them about prayer and giving them instructions on how you're supposed to pray. And if you remember last time when we started talking about prayer, one of the things that Jesus started instructing them was on, when you pray, you don't have to pray long, elaborate prayers. When you read Matthew 6, he says, listen, when you pray, you don't have to babble and just talk over and repeat yourself over and over and over again. He says that God, thinking that your many words is what God is going to hear. When you pray, he instructs them that you don't have to use many words. And then he instructs them that when you pray, you need to be advised that what you are praying to God is not new information to him, that he is already aware. He says that when you pray to God, you don't have to pray so much because God already knows what it is that you're saying before you ask it. But then when you get there to verse 16, he begins to instruct them about fasting. So he's been talking to them about how to be blessed. He's been talking to them about anger. He's been talking about them how to pray. But when you get to verse 16, I want you to notice what it says. He says, and moreover, when you fast. Do you see that? The question is, I'm a Christian. Do I need to fast? Or does the Bible say that I need to fast? And one of the things that you see, remember, this is in red. This is Jesus Christ himself speaking. He says, moreover, when you fast. Notice he didn't say if you fast. Do you see that? Jesus says, as a Christian, he's talking to believers, he says, when you fast. If you were to look throughout the scriptures, I want to tell you, particularly in the New Testament, you will not find a specific command that commands Christians that you have to fast. Okay, so if you do a study in the Bible and you start, particularly in the New Testament, you won't find where it deliberately says that as a Christian, you must fast. But I think when you look at the text of what Jesus was saying is, even though it's not a specific command, you can see from Jesus's words that it's at least an expectation or an assumption that you would be doing it. Does anybody see that? Because he says, when you fast. So when you are a Christian, the question is, do I have to fast or should I be fasting? Well, Jesus says, when he was teaching on fasting, he says, not if you fast, he says, when you fast. So as Christians, I believe that the Bible teaches that you and I should be fasting. In fact, the Bible says in Mark chapter 2, verse 19, if you remember, the Pharisees came up and asked Jesus and said, why are your disciples not fasting like John? And Jesus said, as long as the bridegroom is with them, they don't fast. But then he says, one day the bridegroom is going to be taken, and what? Then you shall fast. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody reading their Bible? So there you have an example to where Jesus says that while I'm with you, you shouldn't fast, but one day I'm going to leave, and when I leave, you who are my followers should fast then. Amen. So the question is, as Christians, should we fast? There's not a specific command in the New Testament saying that you have to. So it's not a sin if you don't. But when you read the words of Jesus Christ, I think you can see that it was his expectation or assumption that you would. Now, the next question is, well, what is fasting? When you say fast, what is fasting? All of you should have an outline. If you don't, just raise your hand and ask the usher to get you one. But what is fasting? When we talk about fasting, because when I say 21 days, I know everybody in here, or most of you looked at me with that eyebrow like, Pastor, I don't think I can make it for 21 days. First, what is fasting? Fasting is the voluntary abstaining from physical desires that gratify the flesh for a period of time so that one can focus on spiritual things. Do you see that? It is the voluntary abstaining. It's putting physical desires and things that you want or that your flesh would normally gratify itself with so that you can focus on spiritual things. Now, in the Bible, most of the time, 9 out of 10 times, whenever you read about fasting, it is talking about food. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, give me an amen if you're following me. 9 times out of 10, when you read in the Bible, when it refers to fasting, it is speaking of abstaining from food. For example, in the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 16, Esther said when she was praying for her people, She said, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. What did she say? Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. 9 times out of 10 in the Bible, when you read about fasting, it is talking about food. However, fasting is not always food. Okay, this is important because when we talk about fasting, I'm not asking you to withhold from food for 21 days. Because quite frankly, I know ain't no most people in here can't do 21 days. You can't do 21 hours or 21 minutes. Some of us. So fasting from food is this one thing. Fasting really can be from any physical desire, anything that gratifies the flesh, not just food. For example, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, he says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a what? Time. Why? That you may give yourselves to what? Fasting and do you see that? Prayer is not, fasting is not always food. It can also be anything that gratifies the flesh. So in this example, Paul uses sex. Now, I am not asking for a fast on sex. I know some people looked at me with that eyebrow right now. That eyebrow kind of went up. I can't do the one eyebrow. No, the pastor's not calling for a fast on that. But I'm just giving an example to where the Bible, when you think of fasting, it's not just food. It's any physical desire, anything that gratifies the flesh. So when we talk about going on a 21-day fast this year, normally I would come to you and say, okay, for this week or for this day, we're going to fast on this. This year I'm not going to do that. And the reason why is when I was praying on this, we're not all fasting about the same things. So sometimes, you know, when we fast from social media, for social media, for some people, it's not really a problem, right? So when you fast, some of you fasting may be food. But as you fast, some of you, it may be something else. So what I'm asking you to do during this fast is to pray to God to ask him what you need to fast on. Some of us, social media may be something you need to fast on. Some of you, before something is posted, you already down responded to it. And sometimes that means you need to take a step back, right? So fasting, first of all, what is fasting? It is abstaining from food, but it is also any physical desire that gratifies the flesh. Number three, what is the purpose of fasting? Why do we fast, or why do you fast in the Bible? Number one, fasting disciplines the flesh to bring it under subjection to the spirit. Okay, so this is a big one. What fasting does is it disciplines or it weakens the flesh to bring it under subjection to your spirit. Why is that important? Because today we live in a flesh society. Everything is designed to gratify and stimulate your flesh. Think about it. From the moment you wake up and as you go throughout your whole day, everything you do for most people is about satisfying your flesh. Come on, be honest. Some people didn't make it to church this morning. You know why? Because the voice of the flesh said that I'm tired. Come on. And what's happening is, listen, your flesh has power and a voice. And the voice of your flesh can sometimes get stronger than the voice of your spirit, man. Watch this. And what you have to learn to do is discipline the flesh so that it's subjected or under the subjection of your spirit. In other words, the Bible says that your spirit is supposed to be the stronger than your body. Okay? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, I want you to notice what Paul says. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Notice what he says. And may your whole spirit, soul, and what? Now that order is important. He says, he gives the order. Your spirit, then your soul, then your body is supposed to come. In fact, if you go back to creation in Genesis chapter 2, when God originally created man, it says that the spirit came first. that God breathed the breath of life, and when it went into the body of man, he became a living soul. But everything first started with the spirit. Here's the problem. For many of us, the order has been reversed. In other words, the spirit is what makes us God conscious. It's what makes us communicate to God. What the way it's supposed to work, God is supposed to communicate to our spirit. Our spirit instructs our soul, and the body does what it's supposed to do. But for many of us, it's been reversed. The body is in control. The body tells the spirit what to do. The body says, I'm hungry. The body says that I'm tired. The body says that I don't feel like doing this. And for many of us, it's been reversed. And fasting brings it under control. You need to understand that there is a war going on between your spirit man and your body. You may not know this, but your spirit is struggling to control your soul, to influence your soul, but so is your body. That's why you always got to struggle when you try to do right. Your body is trying to, you know, I hate to put, but your boy who's in trouble said, my mind's telling me no. I knew some of the young people, some of your boys, I'm glad some of the older ones. My mind's telling me no, but. Y'all not say. But he says, there's a war. Let me give it to you this way. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says it this way. He says, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? 17. For the flesh lusts. It wars. It desires against the spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the spirit against the what? Flesh. And these are what? Contrary to one another, so that what? You do not do the things that you. Listen. For some of us, your flesh is stronger than your spirit. Watch this. Your body is strong, but your flesh is weak. Excuse me. Yeah. Your spirit, yeah. Your body is strong, but your spirit is weak. Can I say it that way? Your body looks very physically strong, but your spirit is malnutrition. And so when it comes to hearing the things of God, some of us, anybody ever struggle hearing the voice of God? You say, man, I want to hear God speak when I go throughout my day, but I just can't hear him. You know why? Many times it's because your body is too strong. Listen, and you will never reach your full potential spiritually until you bring your body under control. You'll never do it. For some of us, the voice of your body is just way too strong, and you can't get the breakthrough that you need. For example, I used to work out in the gym, as you can tell, with my cousin John, right? And we would go in the gym, and you know, I'd be working out and everything. Jahari, you understand this? And I was up in there working out, and I got to a point to where I couldn't break through. We were doing the bench press, and I think it might have been, what was it, John, like maybe 500 pounds? I was trying to break 400 pounds? Maybe 300 pounds? Well, it's been a long time ago. He don't really remember everything. All I can say, it was a tremendous amount of weight. It was a spectacular amount of weight. I'm like President Trump. It was very big. It was gigantic. It was an enormous amount of weight. And I got there, and I was trying to push it. And one of the things that I would try to do whenever I would get up under the weight, he had this little saying that he would say to me. He would say, get your mind right. Because how many of you know that sometimes your worst enemy is your. Yeah, see, I would get up underneath that, and my body would tell me, you can't lift that weight. It's too much. You've already tried this before. And the voice would be so strong, sometimes you get defeated before you even try to lift it up. So he would always come and say, get your mind right. You know why? Because what I would do is I would listen to the voice of my mind that I can do it. That's why football players, before they get ready for the game, they'd be out there, and they had that music, and they'd be pumping and all that. You know, man, I don't want to show them too much. And they be ready, right? Because they're getting their mind right. That's right. Even though the body may not be there, they're getting the mind right. And for some of us, the voice of your flesh is so strong, you need to bring it under the subjection of your spirit that's trying to break through. Your body, some of us are completely body controlled. You know, I did this with my sons. I just fed them a big meal. 30 minutes later, them jokers telling me they hungry. I said, man, you ain't hungry. You need to control your body. There is no physical way you hungry. Yes, I am, Daddy. I'm hungry. I need a snack. Somebody say they got a high metabolism. And they do eat. But here's the thing. Listen, here's one of the benefits of fasting. It's telling your body no. And you got to do that. Do you remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 4? Where he was tempted and the devil said, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, I can't do that. You know what that big issue was? The Bible, if you read it, it says that after 40 days, he hungered. So in other words, his body was hungry. He wanted to eat. But Jesus says, I cannot listen to the desires of my body more than I listen to the spirit that's giving me direction. That's really what all that was about. Jesus was saying, yes, I could do this. Yes, I hear my body telling me it's hungry, but I ain't heard God yet tell me to go ahead and eat. And some of us are so fleshly driven, you're running and doing stuff before you hear from God. If you would have listened to God, you wouldn't have dated that boy in the first place. Okay, let me move on. So it brings the flesh under submission. Number two, fasting deprives the flesh so that you can spend time seeking and hearing from God. One of the biggest reasons you fast, listen, one of the biggest reasons you fast is so that you can pursue and seek and hear from God. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 3 says it this way. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Why? Then those of Israelite lineage, what? Separated themselves from all foreigners. One of the things that you do when you fast is you separate yourself from all of those things that aren't necessary. Come on, somebody. You can say amen. Do when you fast, you separate yourself from all the things that are unnecessary. What else did they do? Then they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. When you fast, you separate yourself, you get before God, and you confess your sins. Number three, then they stood up in their place and what? Read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for what? Another thing that you do when you're fasting is you get busy in the Word. Listen, When you fast, you're getting rid of some stuff to focus on another thing. Don't just fast, but don't replace it with something. You get rid of all the external stuff so that you can focus in on God. Lastly, he said, they fasted for one fourth a day, and for another fourth, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So four things you do when you fast is you separate yourself from unnecessary things. It's your opportunity to confess any sins and seek God. You study the word and you worship. Another reason why you fast or purpose is for fasting is because fasting gets God's attention. Listen, when you fast, nothing gets God's attention like fasting. When you look in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 3 and 4, notice what it says. Israel saying, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? They're asking because they were fasting, but God had not responded. They said, why have we fasted? You have not seen. Why have we afflicted our souls and you have not taken notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find no pleasure and exploit all your labors. Verse 4, indeed you fast for strife and debate. They were fasting for the wrong reasons, but I want you to see what their expectation was of why they were fasting. It says, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day, what? To make your voice heard on high. See, one of the reasons for fasting is to make your voice heard on high. Fasting is a way of getting God's attention. How does it get God's attention? It's because it humbles yourself to show God that I'm willing to sacrifice all of these other external things just to have you. I don't know if that makes sense. See, what fasting does is it's a sacrifice to show that more than any of these other things that I'm used to looking to get what I need, all I want is you, God. I'm willing to make that sacrifice. That's all I want. See, listen, many of us, how many know that when you are serious about something, you're willing to sacrifice for it? I met my wife. I was dating her. I'm going to be quick with this. When I was courting her, I always told her how much I loved her, and I love this woman. I always told her how much I loved her. I told her I loved her all the time. I would call on the phone and tell her how much I love her. She'd be like, okay. I would call, I would come say, oh, baby, I love you so much. But I said, okay. Every time I saw her, I would tell her how much I loved her. And she would listen and say, okay. But how many know that when I sacrificed one day and I went to the bank and I took out some of this money that I had been saving for years and went and bought her a wedding ring and I put that wedding ring on her finger, how many know that that changed her perspective about what I had been saying about her the whole time? See, you can pray and say a whole lot, but when you're willing to sacrifice for something that it is that you want, you get somebody's attention. When I put that ring on her finger, I really had her attention then because she could see that I was serious about what it is that I need. Fasting, when you humble yourself before God and say, God, I need you. I'm getting rid of all this. No television, no this, no that. I just need you right now for this request. You block everything out and only focus in on God. Listen, when do we fast? I'm closing. When do we fast? I gave you many examples on your sheet. Listen, those are just a sample of examples. There are many, many, many examples of when you fast. I just picked out 10, okay? I just picked out 10. You basically can fast for any need that you have. When you look there at the examples that I gave you, Moses fasted for 40 days when he needed revelation from God. Anybody need revelation from God? If there's something that you're looking for, Deuteronomy chapter 9, I gave you the scripture so you can go back and look at them in context. Moses fasted for 40 days while he was waiting on those tablets. David fasts for the healing of his child, 2 Samuel 12:16. Anybody got somebody else who's going through a health challenge? Somebody in your family, sometimes when stuff is going on, you need to fast. Esther fasted for the safety of her people, the Jews, Esther 4:15-17. Ezra fasted while mourning for the sins of his people. Sometimes when you've done something wrong and you've sinned bad, you need to get before God and block everything out so that you can get back right with God. Anybody ever been in the doghouse? When you've done something wrong with that spouse and you in the doghouse? How many know that sometimes you got to put in some time in order to get back in right relationship? Right? Fasting does that. Darius fasted for the safety of Daniel when he was in the lion's den, Daniel 6:18-23. Daniel fasted waiting for an answer to prayer, Daniel 10:2-3. Jesus fasted when he was going through spiritual warfare. Listen, when you are under attack by the enemy, sometimes you need to stop calling everybody else and get by yourself and fast and seek God. I'm telling you can pray all you want. Sometimes you got to get alone and just pray for God for that breakthrough. When you look there at the text, Jesus fasted when he was going through spiritual warfare. If you look in Matthew, you might get the wrong interpretation. When you look in Luke chapter 4, it says that he was being tempted the whole entire 40 days. That's when he was fasting. Look there in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Notice what it says. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Watch this. He was being tempted for what? You see that? In other words, for at least that text to me says, during that entire 40 days, he was being tempted by the devil, tested. He had stuff going on with the devil during that entire 40 days. And then notice what it says. And in those days, he what? He didn't eat anything. Why? He was being tempted, tested, under attack by the enemy. Sometimes when you're going through, you need to get by yourself and conduct a fast. Nineveh fasted to repent for sin, Jonah 3:10. Ezra fasted for guidance, Ezra 8:21. Jehoshaphat fasted for deliverance. Anybody need deliverance in your life? Anybody facing a scenario to where you need the power hand of God to move? Listen, one of the best ways to get at that is you fast. Can I tell you something? There is tremendous power in a home with a husband and a wife, or a wife or whoever, who will fast for the needs of whatever they got going on. Boy, I ain't getting many amens. You have tremendous power in your home when a husband and a wife will get together and say, we need a financial breakthrough, or we need a healing in our body, whatever it is, and you fast. The Bible says there's tremendous power in that. When you read the Bible in 2 Chronicles 21 through 4 about Jehoshaphat, the Bible says that all the armies, three armies came at him at once, and he was perplexed. He needed deliverance. He was about to be crushed. And when he prayed, the Bible says that God stepped in and answered his prayer. So you can fast pretty much for any reason or need that you may have. Now, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, here's the thing. When you start this fast on the first Sunday, he tells you how to do it. Okay? In other words, he says, now, when you fast, do it with the right motives. Okay? I'm just summarizing those verses so I can close. He says, do it with the right motive. In other words, don't go around telling everybody, trying to look holy and sanctimonious, that I'm fasting. Can I give you the Reader's Digest? In other words, he says, don't walk around, don't bathe yourself. Man, what's going on? Lynn, you're looking quite bad. Well, you know, I'm fasting for the Lord right now. You know, the Lord has me in dust and ashes, so I'm fasting. You know, to where you try to look real spiritual. He said, don't do that. He says, when you fast, do it essentially in secrecy. In other words, all he's saying is don't go around trying to make yourself look holy. Your focus should be on getting to God. Amen. Amen. And he says when you do it that way, he says that there is a reward. Now, let me just close with this. What are the rewards of fasting? Why should you do it? What are the rewards? If you got your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 58 again. And I'm just going to close with this. Isaiah 56, what are the rewards for fasting? Why should I do it? What should we expect? What should we be praying for when we fast during these 21 days? I am looking for God to break through some stuff that when we look back on it, we have a shout and a praise and a testimony of how God is. Why am I believing this? Because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, okay, remember in this context, they were doing it wrong, but listen to what God was saying was the result of their fasting, or would be when you do it right. Isaiah 58 and 6 says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? Notice what it says. What is the purpose of the fast? To loose the bonds of wickedness. Anybody got some wickedness and some sin in your life that you've been trying to get free from, but you can't get loose from it? The purpose of the fast, the reward of the fast, is to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. Anybody see that? To let the oppressed go, and that you break what? Every yoke. Those are four promises or four purposes, rewards of fasting. That's why we're doing it. I'm looking for God to break some yokes, to provide some breakthroughs, some stuff that you've been looking for some people to get saved, for some bodies to get healed. Listen, and I'm not trying to get to your emotion. I'm just going off of what the Word of God says. God says, when you trust me, do what I ask you to do. Some of you may have some businesses or whatever it is that you're starting. Listen, you've already tried everything else. You've been praying on that a long time. Why don't you just trust God and do a real fast? Some of you may have some issues in your marriage or whatever it is you're about ready to give up. Before you do that, why don't you do a fast? And just ask God to bless your marriage and to set some stuff free in your life. And if you do that, I believe God is going to do some stuff in our midst. Amen. So get yourself ready. I'm not telling you what to fast. Okay? You get before God and you determine, let him tell you what you need to fast, because all of us are different. But find something. Discipline your flesh. Don't let it control you. Don't let it tell you every day what you need to do. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you need to turn off Days of Our Lives and pick up your Bible. But I ain't getting no amens. Sometimes you may need to stop going to the movies, turn off the NCAA tournament. No amens at all. See, you know what I can tell you? See, you fast when you got a real need. Watch this. See, you may not have the need right now, but can I tell you something? When that sickness hits your body, you'll fast. Oh yeah, you'll fast. When your child goes off crazy and you ain't got nothing else to do, oh, you'll fast, and you'll look for some people to come fast along with you then. When you fast, remember this. It's not even so much just about you. Think about other people that you may know that are going through. Intercede for them. Intercede for that person who needs to know the Lord. Amen? And let's look to see God do some great things. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to come. We pray, Father, that someone here may have taken something from what we're talking about here. Lord, you're calling us for